Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation panel call on the 17th of October 2019. In the call, we have Michael, Mariana, Dennis, Matt, Bill, and Pitinan. Over to you, Mariana.
Okay, you have seen that we managed to send the next version of the report to IP. And also, I have prepared PowerPoint presentations for the Icon 66. So we are a little bit at ease now. I mean, we can relax a little bit because all the things which was very important to finish on time, we did it somehow. Now we can focus again on our regular work. And as I could see, there is a few things which should be finished before we are finalizing our InScript variants. One is to allocate these code points which were not investigated, which were not analyzed, as Michael has specified in Trello.com. There is a bunch of code points which should be examined in the same way as we did it before. So I think, Pitinan, you could, do you have the access? Michael? Michael is not here.
Yes, let me pull that up.
Michael is here now.
Hello, I just...
Oh, he's here now. Yeah, so that's it. So... we have just started the meeting, Michael, and the first item in the agenda is to the allocation of these code points in Trello table, which should be analyzed before finalizing our InScript variants. And there is a bunch of, there is a, I mean, some number of code points which should be analyzed, and I'm proposing that you put the name starting with one, I mean the number starting with one till the end of this not analyzed code points, and that we could in, let's say, next period of time analyze it, and after that we shall have all material prepared for discussion, because we have to pass through all our analysis and make a final conclusions, which one are variants, which one are, let's say, candidates for confusability, and which one are not Okay, please. I have first Michael in the queue, then after that I have Bill. Michael, please go on.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Hi, Mariana. So. In short, as a practical workflow for this, I would suggest the following. So I can work over and overhaul a bit the Trello list and put in explicit names instead of numbers, so that, for example, it says Mekal and not, I don't know, six or something, so that it's clear who, how we split up the work and what has to do. I can also update it based on the latest proposal we just submitted for IP. I understand it was submitted, right?
Yeah.
And then we can just go in rounds and continue working through the data until we have collated all the data. I can continue putting them into the appendix with the right formatting and structuring, so that's not a problem. But I don't think it would work if I do all the analysis for everyone else. This is clearly not a good choice. I think in the meantime, what we could do, because this is something I have to prepare the list and share the list with everyone, so everyone's clear on what he or she is supposed to do. What we could discuss in the meantime on the calls are those cases where we already have the data, where we need to find and build a consensus on whether, for example, something is an accepted variant based on that analysis or not. So we do have a lot of individual votes on that of the reviewer who looked at, for example, a particular set. And I had summarized them, preliminarily in some in a section of the document, and there were a couple of comments on that, for example, by Dennis saying that we need to discuss this in the group. And I think he's right. So we need to work through that data and see if we agree with the choice of the first reviewer. And if not, we should come up with a process whereby we establish a singular review and final verdict on every case. So that would be my suggestion on how to go forward on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bill?
Yes, I think Michael has a good thought for the next step. However, as I was looking over the whole document when I was attempting to help Michael with the editing just before we sent it off to the IP, it occurs to me that this collection that we have in this document that we're looking at the moment is based on, we had a number of cases of, well, we think this kind of thing produces a potential variant. However, it seems to me that there may well be, actually it seems to me that there are cases which are similar enough to be potential variants, but don't happen to fall into those particular classifications. And I think we probably should at least look at those as well. If it would be helpful, I can try putting together a some kind of list of the ones that don't fall into these categories that we've got here, but that I think we need to look at. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments about Bill's proposal, Mats, please?
Yes, to follow up on Bill's proposal, then I think we should try to find a systematic way of collecting these cases so that we don't end up doing this over and over again. That we kind of feel that now we have exhausted the material. We have found all the cases that we want to look at. Thank you.
Bill, please.
Yes, I'm all in favor of coming up with a systematic approach if we can find one. I just don't want to miss something simply because it's a case where we only happen to have one pair because that doesn't particular reason that would come up systematically, if you will, only occurs in one pair in our repertoire. I don't want to miss something just because it's within the repertoire, it's unique, even though it theoretically, the diacritic could occur in multiple places, just doesn't happen to. So I don't want to miss those. Thank you.
Any other opinion, thoughts about this? If Bill is offering to collect whatever he has on his mind, I don't see any reason why shouldn't we discuss what he has, and that will be, how shall we call this collection of code points? Bill, you just give them some name which is on your mind. I don't know, because
I would like to comment, Mariana, at some point.
Yes, please, but your hand is still up and that's all the time is up, so I don't know whether it is up and where it is down. So please, Michael, go on.
Ah, sorry, I left it up because in the meantime.
Next
time I'm going to say something. Sorry about that.
So, okay.
So very briefly about what Bill said. So the cases we had there were based on observations, more or less from a linguistic background and hypotheses formulated on the basis of that. We discussed them during our last face-to-face meeting in Brussels and came up with kind of initial approach to the problem. I never thought that my solution need be holistic or complete or final, and I don't think we should assume such. So data is always more important than a process or a methodology, and the methodology and the process must follow the data and be able to show it in a proper way. So if you see further cases, Bill or any other member of the group, I think you should just come forward and we should discuss that, set it up as an item on, for example, one of the calls to discuss, okay, saying this type of variance or this type of variance is not yet covered by our analysis. And then we have to decide whether these are really individual cases or whether we actually missed another principle which may explain why these are variants. But without discussing them in the group, we will never know. So I don't think it's a problem at all of having further cases, and I don't think this list is complete as it is. And this is also why I suggested we should get started with reviewing the cases where we have the final data and the final verdict from the first reviewer, because doing that, I assume that we will be able to further develop our principles and our methodology and our workflow, just as we did in the case of CRISPR variants, for example. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. So please lower your hand. Yeah, thank you very much. Let me see. So we can conclude that the next thing we shall start discuss the material we have collected up to now. Michael will prepare the future homework for all of us to finish analysis of all code points which we didn't cover up to now. And Bill will give his thoughts about potential variants which he thinks that those code points should be examined, and we shall discuss it as Michael proposed. Is it okay for everyone? Which I just tried to cover. Yeah, Mats, please go on.
I'm back here to the idea that we try to work systematically on that. So I think it's good if Bill thinks about cases, but maybe we should try to get some principles so that everyone could think of cases, so that we kind of collect as much as possible now, so that we don't repeat this over and over again and never complete our work.
Oh, we shall complete it. At least I think we shall. So, Bill, please.
Yes, I completely agree with Matt that it's good to have principles, but I'm coming at it from the viewpoint of we need to look at the data in order to work out what the principles are. In the linguistic cases, the principles, at least as I understood it, were already understood by the trained linguists among us, and so we could start from there. But I think for other cases, I think we may need to work out the principles based on the data rather than trying to come up with with principles out of rather than come up with the principles first. If Matt or anybody else can come up with some principles to suggest already, I think that's wonderful. I'm just thinking we need to look at the data first. That was the only reason I suggested that approach. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. So Michael is next. Michael, please go on.
So yes, I wanted to give full support to what Bill said. Like, we shouldn't define we shouldn't define principles a priori without actual knowledge about the cases. So working on the data will allow us to establish the principles. And I don't think it will be a repetitive case, because the cases we have established so far will, in the majority, be very relevant cases we have to consider. So we're not doing surplus work as it is. The question is just how much did we miss, and how much did our initial theory or our initial theories cover so far? Is it 40%? Is it 60? Is it 80%? And therefore, to formulate the principles is something we should do while working on the data. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Mats, please go on. Michael, lower your hand.
Yes.
My idea is not that different from yours, Bill and Michael. If we find a case that we think this is something that we should study, we could go two ways. Either we go deep down into that case and try to decide if it should be a variant or not, or we could say, okay, this kind of case, I have found an example that I think could be a variant. And are there other similar cases that I want to draw into that box and work on that at the same time? So instead of going deep first, we should try to go breadth first. And then when we have collected as much as we can see, we go deep into all the cases. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, thank you, Mike. Michael, please go on.
Yeah, thank you, Max. I kind of understood that this is the approach by what Bill was referring to and what I was referring to. So, but even for such cases, we need an initial candidate to understand a new principle or a new reason for having a variant relationship, which we haven't considered so far. So finding one case, trying to extrapolate what may be the underlying reason, and then we can go on and see whether we can speculate about further cases which fall in that category before we make a full analysis. So yes, I think it's a combined approach of what we are all saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. So at least we have, it is seen the approach is pretty clear now. So Dennis, please go on, Dennis.
Thank you, Mirjana, Dennis, for the record. So I'm not clear as to what's been suggested in terms of, I understand, right, we wanna go through, okay, so Bill just answered. So really it's about visual similarity. So we are ruling out any linguistic conventions or such as such criteria.
I think those cases we are discussing are linguistic, are based on linguistic ideas. And the cases we're discussing are also not strictly based on visual similarity, but are based on consideration in the minds of readers and writers who consider two things which may seem different to be the same. Does that answer your question anyhow, in any sense, Dennis?
Maybe. I mean, okay. other than glyphs that are equal, like the schwa and turn e, anything else is, there's a, you know, a grade of degree of similarity. So, and what, so we know, right? We understand that's very subjective. So where are you going to draw the line? I thought we did, but so I'm what I'm hearing is that we want to open up visual similarity cases to something different. So that's what I'm not clear.
Yeah, let's thank you, Dennis. At least I think that we should look what is bothering any some of our members and see how the other people is seeing the same problem. Because if we do not this in this group, all such cases, they will come back to us during public comment period or later. So it is good to discuss every situation which is if someone has a necessity to discuss it, and see where we shall finish. Bill, please go on.
Yes, I completely agree with Dennis. There's a spectrum from the Schwann turned E case, which is pixel for pixel identical, all the way down to things that everybody, you know, nobody would mistake a letter Z for a letter B, for instance. I mean, you know, there's a spectrum all the way in between there. My concern is that I think we're all working under a handicap, which is that those of us here know too much. There are a couple of dozen diacritics, and thanks to the time we've put in here, all of us, even those who aren't trained linguists, know all of those diacritics. We know what they look like. We know how to tell the difference. But the average user knows, what, a half dozen that happen to occur in the languages that he's acquainted with. And so we see differences that, while most people may be physically capable of seeing, they're not going to notice simply because it won't occur to them that there's something there to look for. Just to take an arbitrary example, which I don't think actually occurs in our repertoire, consider the Sedilia and the Ogonek. Since I've never studied French, I've never had occasion to write the Sedilia under a C. So my mental image before I got onto the Latin GP was, okay, it's something that is a squiggly line that comes down below the C. If really press, I say, okay, it comes down straight and then there's a curve, but whether that curve was concave left or concave right, not a clue. So it's not that I couldn't see the difference between those two, it's that it wouldn't occur to me that there was something there to look for. And I think that kind of, you can't see a difference if it, you frequently can't see a difference if it doesn't occur to you that there's a difference there that you ought to be looking for, is something where I think we will need to go back and look at them, because, I mean, Dennis can see differences that none of the rest of us can see, but all of us see differences that are far less obvious than the level of difference that the average user will pick up on. And I think those users, when we're deciding on variance, I think those users are the ones that we need to be concerned about. And my thought is that as we look through additional visual cases, we will find more of those. So that's generally the direction I'm heading. Does that help any?
Michael, please. You are the next in the queue.
I was planning to say something about what Dennis had said, but I kind of forgot now after Bill's comment, but I have some remarks on what Bill said. So what Bill is now suggesting, or the example he's drawing on, and I don't think this is the only case example which may still occur,
is that it's more difficult. What I'm trying to say is that there are a lot of characters. IDNA are all about giving access to internet users from different language background and therefore also different script backgrounds and different orthographical backgrounds than ASCII. So obviously any single user will always only be familiar with a certain part of the entire repertoire. And this is a standard kind of reservation we have to do for all of these code points. But we have to balance out the fact that someone may not be aware about of something and someone may not be able to conceptually tell the difference. So those are, for me, are two different things. Now, it may be the case that for some things you saw, Bill, in your particular case, you thought it was just a squiggly line, as you called it. But then again, that notion is your particular notion based on your linguistic environment and so on. You must also consider that you come from the United States, which is a very Western country in the sense that it's mostly monolingual, and that monolingual education dominates everything. There are many parts of the world where multilingualism is the default. So people are much more used and accustomed to variation. Variation not only in language, but also in writing and in writing systems and orthographic symbols and things like this. So I don't think we can go to that length where we consider kind of the naive perspective of some readers and writers as a basis for considering something, as the only basis for considering something a variant. And I think there is still a long continuum in between both ends of what constitutes a variant relationship. At the one end, someone who only knows an ASCII set and considers everything else above and below a squiggly line, for example, and someone who's familiar with the entire repertoire, and a variant which is based on actual visual identity in the sense of a homoglyph. I think that's kind of the idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bill, Mats, you are the next. Go on, please.
Thank you. What the limitation we also have is the linguistic background of us. I mean, we have observed, for example, the F and the F with the tail as variations of form that can occur in a number of languages. But there could be other such cases where two shapes that could be very different, but they are considered to be the same from another linguistic background in another language. So even C and B could be considered to be the same thing. So there's a risk or a chance that such things also pop up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mats. Bill, please.
Yeah, Michael, I understand. I'm working under a handicap based on my linguistic background, but my more complete thought, and I was trying to just hit the principle, is a typical language. I mean, English is useless for this purpose, but other languages typically will use a half dozen different diacritics. And if you are familiar with two or three others, not counting English, which, as I say, is useless, maybe you know seven or eight, nine different diacritics, but that still leaves half of them that you've never encountered. And so I think there's... And that's the concern I have, is you can be a careful and observant user But if it doesn't occur to you to look for something, you won't notice it. That's all I was trying to suggest. I do realize that I'm coming from a relatively deficient background, or at least from a country full of people of relatively deficient backgrounds. Mine is probably better than most of theirs, but even so, pretty restricted, and I do recognize that. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Michael, please.
Just wanted to say that this is not a personal thing. It's not about you or me or Dennis or Mats or anyone, Bill. This is a general issue all users have. We are all only familiar with a certain repertoire. The question is, how big is that repertoire and how much does it shape our worldview of what's out there in the world of language and scripts and orthographies? And there are the differences. If you go to Germany, believe me, the average German doesn't do much better about anything than German. And we don't even want to talk about Romance countries like, I don't know, France and Italy, where people have much stronger monolingual traditions even than, for example, in the Germany. So monolingualism isn't the US problem. It's a problem of Europe also and many other regions of the world. But the majority are multilingual. So it's about the worldview. Like, if you think that what you know is the entire universe, so to speak, and everything else is a squiggly thing above or below, or if you think, okay, I know something, for me it works, but I'm sure there must be something out there. And this has more to do with the worldview. And I don't think we should consider us too much with such worldviews, but rather with the more subtle neurolinguistic ideas people have about what is identical and what is not identical, what is the same and what is not the same in their minds at a higher level. But again, this is not about you, Bill. Sorry if you understood that. It's not about anyone in person. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
I just want to say, no, I wasn't taking it personally. I was just trying to say essentially what you're saying, what people know is going to shape their worldview, and that the members of the Latin GP are way out on the tail end of the curve of users of how much a user may know. And we, you know, even if we're talking about, you know, careful and observant users, we're talking about more than, you know, a tenth of a percent of the population. We need to have a broad enough view that, you know, we will at least pick up, say, 10% of the population. Otherwise, the variants are simply not going to do the job that, as I understand it, they're intended to do, of making sure that people actually get to domain location that they are intending to go to. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Dennis, please.
Thank you, Marjana. Dennis, for the transcript. So I honestly am struggling to recognize what are we solving for. I'm not sure why we are so afraid of. IDNs have been in operation for more than a decade now, and the world has not collapsed. So I'm not sure why we're trying to, you know, find the slightest risk and try to solve for that. And we are trying to create rules that really not sure what's going to be the real impact. I mean, I get the ones that, you know, homoglyphs are real clear cut issue. But as far as going into visual similarity and trying to fix that, I'm not sure it's going to be of value, right? Especially at the top level. We are doing rules, creating rules for top level domain names. And again, the rules on LGR, it's just one component of the evaluation process for a TLE to become delegated into the root zone. There are going to be other processes like visual similarity review process and all other processes as well to make sure that TLDs are introduced in a root zone in a safe and secure manner, right? And we're speaking about usability. I mean, think about it. I mean, plurals and singular have been delegated. I mean, wouldn't that also, you know, bring confusion? And so I'm not sure we are overthinking. And with that overthinking, we are trying to come up with a very complex product. And I don't think we are going in the right direction.
Thank you, Dennis. Bill?
I would say that I think we're talking about very different situations when we're talking about TLDs versus higher level domains, being where IDNs have occurred before. If you don't worry about variance in higher level domains, you have a few cases that may be problematic, but if you have, I mean, to take an extreme case, if you have a TLD that most of the population is going to think looks like .com, even though it isn't, at that point, you're essentially requiring everyone who has a .com domain name to go back and re-register his domain name a second time with the new TLD. And that's just an enormous group of people that are being impacted, far larger impact than merely having something that may or may not be a variant as part of your second level domain name. And that's why I think we need to be more careful about how much confusion we're generating when we're looking at TLDs. But I agree with Mikkel, we're getting excessively philosophical on this. I think it was sufficient to say that's why I was thinking we needed to look deeper. We can work through the philosophy separately. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. We talked a little bit, not a little bit, almost 40 minutes about this new approach. And I'm not sure could I propose any kind of solution for this discussion, or shall we leave this a little bit to think about it and to make our final decision next time? Or shall we ask Bill to give us examples which are bothering him and try to, because my personal opinion is that whenever is something what is bothering any one of the group members, we should discuss it and try to make some kind of reasonable solution about it.
Hi, this is Pitinan. I'd like to be in the queue.
Pitinan, please go on. Hi. Because I'm thinking aloud.
just wondering. So actually, is your is Marjana previous proposal that so the step is Mako will assign the remaining inspection tasks to the member. That's one. Second one is Bill will list the set that he finds that it might need more investigations. And then the third thing is to put whatever the findings into the next meeting agenda. And we go from this step first for this week, and probably next week we have more information to look at. And probably we can see some pattern how we want to move forward. Would that be possible? Thank you.
Pitina tried to formulate some, let's say, conclusions about today's discussion. And Michael is adding something. Michael is giving some conclusions in the chat. So I think everyone can see, and it is almost the same what Pitinan suggested, or very similar to what Pitinan suggested. So if anyone has something to add to it or to comment it, please do it now, or it will be discussed next time, because we shall have only one more meeting before ICON 66. This is next Thursday. And after that, two Thursdays we shall not have meeting because some people are traveling, and in 2 weeks, and the third week is ICON 66. So we shall meet in 3 weeks after that meeting next week. I hope I was clear, although I will explain it in the next agenda. Okay, I don't see. Michael is saying Michael, please. Pitinan, yeah, you could read what Michael said, and it's the same as your proposal, Michael. Yes, those were the things we have discussed today, and we should keep all those things in mind for our next discussions. Okay, next thing which we have on our agenda is some table which Bill gave before, let's say 3, 4, 5 months, I forgot how much. Pitinan, could you show the table on the screen, and I will ask Bill to explain us what bothers him in this table, because I cannot remember very well what was going on before 3 months. Pitinan will give us the table on the screen.
That's the document. That's close enough. What we have, I think, are three different cases where we have used stacking because a precomposed code point does not exist for a item in the repertoire. In some cases, everything works as designed. In some cases, in some fonts, and including one of the three that we have been using as our standard for looking at variants, the combining diacritic does not combine. And so, as you see in the first couple of examples there, the following letter gets shoved to the side, then we, those, to my mind, are an irritation, but not really a problem that we need to worry about. Although, feel free to disagree with me on that. But we also have cases, for example, the third one in the list there, where the combining diacritic does not combine with the previous letter, but the following letter doesn't move over either. So in effect, the combining diacritic ends up in some fonts combining with the following letter and in other fonts combining with the previous letter. And it seems to me that that is a problem. The best solution I could come up with was we may need to consider dropping those from the repertoire altogether until such time as the Unicode Consortium comes up with a pre-composed code point for those. But I'm open to any better suggestion anyone comes up with. But it seemed to me, if you have cases where the diacritic isn't where you thought it was going to be, and it's on some other letter, that's a problem. I took the liberty for the most recent version of the proposal that we sent to the IP of putting that particular suggestion in as a more as a placeholder, so the IP would at least be aware that the situation existed rather than as anything that rose to the level of being a draft of our idea of how it ought to be dealt with. I'm aware it certainly was nothing like a consensus of because we hadn't got to talking about it yet, but I thought the IP ought to at least be aware that there was the situation existed. Anyway, that's the issue that I've seen. I don't know. And maybe all the rest of you look at it and go, oh, who cares? But I thought it needed to be talked about. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Michael, please go on.
Yes, thank you. So I think this is a prime example for some of the rules we have already set up. And thank you for providing that evidence, Bill. So one of the ideas we had behind what we call stacking off diacritics issue is that the diacritics may be mispositioned to the left or to the right of a letter. We did an initial analysis in the main for combining diacritics, that is, combined code points which already have two diacritics. We didn't consider a letter plus another combining separate diacritic. But this is exactly the kind of scenario I was looking for. And this is also why it is so important that in the data we produce, to be sure we come to a conclusive, we come to valid evidence and we generate valid evidence, we need context. So it's never enough to just have a character by itself and say, okay, see, we have a modifier, it's on top of the character, there is no issue here. But we always need a context. So for example, we need the same character without any modifier before and after it to see actually in context whether a modifier becomes displaced to the left and to the right. And lastly, about how to resolve such issues, this is something we should discuss whilst getting started with the first cases where we already have produced data and decide on how we should resolve such cases. Personally, I find excluding them from the repertoire extreme, and it is my understanding that the variant mechanism was designed precisely for such cases, and if need be, we can even add to that, for example, by means of something like a whole label evaluation rule. But those are the kind of cases we are looking for. Not only, but they are one case, and this is exactly what I thought about when I suggested stacking of diacritics. And whether you want to call it a font error or a design error, it's probably about conceptual differences and therefore things become added later on. Anyways, I'm getting to ramble. I hope my point was made clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Mats, please go on. Michael, put down your hand, please.
I have a question to Bill. So line one, you don't consider that to be a problem, but we have the same case with an open small Latin small letter open O and combining the cron below. So I don't see why the first one is considered to be okay and the second one is not okay. Can you please explain?
I made a mistake. That basically is the combining macron below should probably in with the small letter O as opposed to the small letter open O is also a case. We have we have three cases. I believe where in some software, specifically Google Docs, which is what we're looking at here, the following letter is displaced to the right, and so it doesn't. So we have what we see there with the small letter open O and the combining macron below. However, in Adobe Acrobat, that is PDFs, and in Microsoft Office, the following letter is not displaced. Just to make our lives a little bit more interesting, it doesn't always work consistently for all cases, even when it appears to be the same item. And they're categorized here because I wrote the document originally in Microsoft Word and categorized them there and then simply copied them over to Google Docs, where in a couple of cases, the world changed. Matt, does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. We have seen what he's been thinking about before a few months. And Michael, please go on. You probably have some suggestions. Please, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. So very briefly, it seemed that if you already thought of that, Bill, you were ahead of us. But the important point of what you just said now is that also in the case of the non-visual similarity analysis, which this is kind of part of, although the term may be misleading in this case, and I think, so the when we did cross-groups analysis, we also noticed strong differences based on the application we're using. We had Armenian code points, and they look completely different depending on whether you look at them in Excel or whether you, or Excel, or whether you looked at them in Google Docs spreadsheets. So the current workflow we have designed, envisions that we actually look at only wordmark, make screenshots, and assume that the font differences already cater to all the differences. Here we have evidence that the font differences may not be enough, and there is also the application layer which plays into this. How we factor this in within our workflow, I cannot say, but I'm just observing that also here we see that the application makes a difference. And otherwise, I would suggest adding these cases among the stacking diacritics analysis somehow. Well, if we can call them in the different category, we can call them combining diacritics category. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bill? Please.
Yes, I want to say a couple of things. I think Michael is correct. We need to dig into these a little further. I think it's clear that we can't look at all possible applications, and even considering, that way lies madness. On the other hand, I think we can take, just as we don't look at all fonts, but we picked two or three generally used cases to look at. I think there are some applications that are widely enough used that we need to at least check them, even though we don't need to go through all cases. My first cut, and it is only a first cut, was Microsoft Office, Adobe Acrobat, Google Docs. We can add more if somebody has another application that they think is widely enough used that we need to worry about it. But it seemed to me we ought to at least hit those three when we're doing this analysis. Thank you.
Mikhail, please go on.
Yeah, well, was just wondering, the same problem must be there for the other GPs, maybe even stronger than we have, because they are not using Latin script. And maybe a question to Pitinan or Sarmat, how do they handle this? Do they also look at a multitude of fonts and applications, or how is it done there?
Hi, this is Pitinan. So let me
please respond Pitinan
to that. So for the complex scripts, they treat the acritic as a vowel, some of the scripts. So basically they will have a rules around it. Like instead of A become next to it, it has to go above. So in that case, they have a lot of rules around how to form a syllable. And that would handle all these diacritic cases. So I guess if that is what also need in Latin script, then we have to start looking at the whole level evaluation rules.
Thank you, Pitinan. Thank you. Michael, please.
Thank you. I just want to ask Pitinan if you could repeat the last remark about whole label evaluation rules and clarify what you think by how they play into this. Thank you.
Okay. So I guess this two things. First question I forgot to answer is, do we other script, they don't really look at the fonts that much. They stick to like one popular font and probably check what is it display in the URL bar in the browser. So they check like the URL address in Chrome, in Safari, and that's it. And the second part is, the way that the script use is always in the cluster base. So in one position, you can have already more than one characters to be there. For example, if you spell home, H-O-M-E, normally you have the H and then you have O go below or above. So for them, the way the diacritic place around the character is already ingrained in the system. So for doing that, they have to fix specific sequence. What could happen? What if you have like above and below all together? Which one come first? You go below first, and then when the above are diacritic, or the other way around. And this, we have to put the rules around it. I hope it answers some of your question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So you're referring to the combining cases. That I didn't get that part. Thank you.
Oh, well, we are here.
And out of time.
And I don't know what to say the next. So it seems that we should think. Also, in my opinion, yes, there might be errors in some texts written in Google Docs or Microsoft Office or even using in PDF. But you see, as Bettina said, there is a lot of GPs focused only on what is written in as the URL in the browser. So, Bill, please, you are first, and then we have Michael.
Bill, yeah, I would just say now that we've at least raised the issue and done a little initial discussion of what, at least what I was thinking of when I put this together, I think we can go and spend some time thinking about it, and then perhaps next week we can have a more fruitful discussion about how we deal with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Michael, please.
I agree with what Bill said, and we already have some suggestions on the table, like the whole label evaluation resolution for the combining cases. And for the rest, I suggested a workflow, and since there was no opposition, I took it to be a consensus from the group. So I think we have an approach and what to do at least until next week and for next week's meeting. So I think we're good.
Yes. Yes, Michael. Thank you very much. I agree with you. Mats?
Yes. I don't see how whole label evaluation rules should solve this problem.
But we can discuss it next time because it is we have passed 1 hour. And people maybe have some other things to do and to think. So we just start a discussion. And we shall find some kind of solution in the future. But now we are at the end of an hour. And as I told you, we shall have next meeting next Thursday. And after that, we shall have a break for 2 weeks. And then we shall reconvene. And now I want to ask you, is there anything, organizational, which should be said now? Or shall I close the meeting? Yeah. I don't see any hands up. So thank you all for taking your part in this discussion. And I'm closing the meeting and I'm wishing you a good rest of the day. So hear you next weekend. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Bye.
Thank you, Magenta. Bye.
Bye.